When your ideal customer's kids are begging every night to read your book, you've won. At Dinosaur House, we turn industry leaders into kids' book authors. We don't do it because it's a super fun thing to do, although it is. We do it because it's highly strategic. Imagine if every night your customers are being asked by their kids to read a book that your company made. Talk about brand affinity. You're helping your customers connect deeply with the most important thing in their lives, their kids, over something that they are passionate about that has to do with your industry. If you want to have a conversation with us about how your brand could become the author of a kid's book, just hit us up, dinosaurhouse.com. Hit the little button that says schedule a story design call. And we'll have a jam session together on just what your company's kids book could and should be.
Hi, my name is Kent Sanders, and I'm a business ghostwriter as well as the host of the Daily Writer Podcast. And you're listening to The Purpose-Driven Entrepreneur.
What's up, Purpose-Driven Entrepreneurs? It's me, your host, Timmy Bauer, and my guest today is Kent Sanders. Kent, it's so good to see you again. Thank you so much for being a guest on my show.
Totally my pleasure. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I loved being on Daily Writer. Yeah, that felt too short, honestly. Like I would go back on your show anytime. It was just really fun talking to you about it. It's like, I don't feel like I get enough of opportunity. Like I could make more time for this, honestly, but I don't take time often to just talk about the craft of writing. And that was really fun.
Cool. I loved having you on the show. It was a blast and you are welcome back anytime.
Awesome. Well, okay. I want to talk about a few different things with you on this podcast. You're a ghostwriter. I definitely want to talk about the craft of writing. It's going to be super relevant to any entrepreneur who's listening because writing a book is just, and you know this, I mean, this is your service. It's one of those things that if you're building a brand, you're probably at some point going to start thinking about writing a book.
Yep.
But just to give our listeners context, how does your business work? What's your primary way of getting customers? And yeah, what's that like?
So I don't really work at getting customers or clients. Other people kind of do that for me. And what I mean by that is that actually sounds kind of the wrong way that I intended it. But what I really mean is that I don't do any sort of formal marketing or advertising of any kind. My advertising is other people who have worked with me before and other people who trust me to help their friends, their clients, their network and so forth. So all of my ghostwriting business has come to me via referral. I think maybe except for one book that I'm currently working on that's for a ghostwriting agency, which I don't normally do that kind of work, but this was a unique project that I wanted to work on. So other than that, everything comes to me by referral. And how the process usually starts is somebody comes to me and says, hey, I'd like to do a book. Typically, it is a book for their business, is to promote their business on some level, or they have a message that they really feel strongly about.
Yeah.
And most of the books that I work on are strong message driven books. I mean, I guess every book is a message book on some level, but these are typically people who have been thinking about a concept or an idea for years, but they're too busy. They're too stressed out many times because, I mean, it's 2021. Who's not stressed out by life right now?
Yeah.
Honestly. And they have other priorities rather than sitting down for a few hundred hours and writing a great book. So I look at that. You know, some people look at people who use ghostwriters as kind of like, well, they're not a real writer or they're not organized or disciplined enough or whatever. And there's probably some element to that. But the way I look at it is that, hey, if you're a business owner or an entrepreneur, you've got better things to do with your time than sitting down and being a wordsmith. Let somebody else come in and help you with that and really craft and hone your message because you're busy casting vision, you're marketing, you're building relationships. Why would you want to spend half your life in front of a computer, you know, hacking out words when there are people like me who can come in and help you be way more efficient with your use of time?
Yeah. How long have you been ghostwriting?
Full time. I've been, now this is, let me couch this with some, so I have one answer, but then let me explain what I mean by that.
Yeah,
so full time, I've been doing this for about 6 months. Now that's because I was doing this part time for the last 2 or 3 years. Just as a side business. And then it grew faster than I thought, honestly. And then I, because of that, I stepped away from my full-time teaching position of being a college professor. And that was just back a few months ago, but I've been doing this ghostwriting books for clients for the past couple of years. I've been doing freelance work and other kinds of writing for much, much longer than that.
Yeah. We live in a weird time right now, I feel, where like literally everyone is trying, everyone recognizes that they need to make a book, or at least so many people, anyone that's trying to build brand or get in front of people. The cost of having a ghost written book written is, in my opinion, like, I just wonder about the justification for it. Like, I've talked to friends of mine that have paid similar to what you charge for ghostwriting services, and they're all very happy with what they paid. But I struggle to see, like, what was the impact of them making that book? What's been your experience with that? Like, how do you look at that? And what are your thoughts around how much money it typically costs? And what is the typical impact for the person who made the book?
Well, that's a good question. And I think the value of what somebody pays to have a ghostwriter help them with the book, that depends on what they want out of the project. Everybody values things differently.
Yeah.
And I look at it sort of like when you have a contractor come into your house, and let's say you want your kitchen remodeled. Now, I've not had a contractor come into my house to do that particular thing, but I know it's probably going to cost tens of thousands of dollars. If you have somebody come in and they're doing like granite countertops, they're doing custom cabinets and flooring and all that stuff. And they might be in there, a few weeks or something like that if they have a crew come in. So it doesn't really take them that long if they really know what they're doing and they come in with a crew and they have a plan and all that. So for me, the value is not necessarily in the time it takes. It's what does the book actually do for somebody? So most of the time, the people that I do books for, they really value having a book written for them because they're going to use that to get more clients. They're going to use it, particularly if they're a speaker, they're going to use that book to help them raise their fees, sometimes even double or triple their speaking fees. Because if you're a speaker, and I hear this from speakers all the time, that if you don't have a book, it's really, really a lot harder to get on stage somewhere. Because if you have a book, that's a differentiator between you and somebody who has or doesn't have a book.
Yeah.
So a book just immediately means, I should say it is perceived if you have a book.
Yeah, it's perceived this way.
I'm choosing my words very carefully. People perceive that you're an expert and authority in your field. Therefore, you bring greater value to your industry. That's the perception. Now, is it always true? Probably not. But I think the majority of time it really is true, because it's hard to write a book, it's time consuming, or it's expensive. So that's kind of our shorthand in our culture of a way that we assign value to people. You're an author, therefore you have more value in the marketplace or in the industry than somebody who doesn't. Now, is that fair? Probably not, but it's just one way that we identify the value that people bring to the marketplace, I think.
Yeah. Earlier, before we hit record, you were telling me about some of your clients, and you were telling me that there's a client of yours where it's like you're trying to take a bunch of pieces of content that they've made and put it together into a book. And you were saying that that's a lot harder than starting from scratch. Why is that?
I do think so, yeah. Well, it's because when you're starting from scratch, I can come to the process and I can talk to somebody, and pretty quickly we can map out, here's a clear vision for the book. Here are the main things that you want to say. And I can organize that into a great book outline. And that's a pretty straightforward process. But
what do you mean by that, straightforward? I actually want to dig into that, because this is super personally interesting for me. I've talked to ghostwriters who've said, basically, all writing a book is coming up with a really, really good outline, and then you just
nobody explains that. I'm really glad you said this, because this comes so naturally to me, and I do it so often that I don't ever really think about. I mean, I do think about it, but you know, the things that kind of come second nature to you, you just assume that it's obvious to everybody else how that happens.
Yeah.
So basically, just to give you like the 90 second version of this, what we typically do is, the very first thing that I do when I sit down with the client is I figure out what is the main idea that their book is, or what they think it is. And then we talk about who is their audience, you know, who's their target reader, what are the competing books in the marketplace that your book is going to be basically competing against. because it is a product at the end of the day that's going to be for sale and all that. What are your dreams for the book? What do you want this book to accomplish for you? You know, the same kind of things that you probably talk to your clients about. And we take all that stuff.
I wish I spent more time talking to my customers about this. We have one call that's very high level, like, but you know, just hearing the way you describe it, I often say things like, what's the strategy behind this kid's book? And I go so heavy on strategy that it can be off-putting.
Yeah. And I could see where that could be the case. On the other hand, you know, kids' books are way, way shorter than like a nonfiction book. So,
you
probably don't need to spend a lot of time on, you know, content necessarily because they're so short.
I wonder about that. I actually wonder about that because, well, I'm curious to hear your process because it could be, it almost sounds like these two things are not that different. The difference is like word count.
yeah. I mean, that really is the difference. So you have a big idea, then you break it down into, in your case, when you're doing a kid's book that is story driven, you're breaking it down probably into scenes, and then those scenes probably become pages or beats in the story and so forth. Same thing with the nonfiction.
We actually do a lot less stories now. A lot of our books are almost like really engaging TED Talks in the form of a kid's book.
Oh, interesting. I love that.
Yeah.
I love
it's it's very illustrative and very, there's usually like a central character that kind of is playing the role of the person that's taking the reader through the information.
Okay.
But then we basically package it in similar to what TED Talkers do, where they figure out what their controlling idea is for their talk. And then they just make sure that they tell it in a way that feels like a story, that flows like a story, and has like every beat of telling, of giving the talk, is there's something engaging about it. Well, for kids, it's like, how often are you scaring them, making them laugh, grossing them out, etc. We call that reaction triggers.
Right.
So you tell the story or give the talk in the form of reaction triggers, 32 pages worth of reaction triggers.
I love that. See, we're not here to talk about
how to make kids books.
but it's really the same thing. The way that I look at a book is, it doesn't matter if it's fiction or nonfiction, every book should take the reader on a journey of some kind. That's why I don't really make a fine distinction between this is fiction and this is nonfiction. Like the whole publishing and writing industry, they completely separate those two most of the time. Yeah. And I think that's kind of a mistake, because that's not the way that we as humans process information. Whenever we're reading a nonfiction book, we want to be taken on a journey of some kind.
Yeah.
So what that looks like in a nonfiction book is, once we have that controlling idea, or I call it the key idea or thesis or whatever label you want to put on it, once we have that nailed down, then we dig into what's the journey we want you to take the reader on. And so I always start out not with what's the outline going to be. We start out with what's the transformation that you want to help your reader achieve by the end of the book. So where are they starting? Then when they end the book, what do you want them to know? How do you want them to feel? What do you want them to do? So because I was an educator for so long, this is just kind of how I think about things. So I look at a book similar to how you would design a course syllabus, in that you have your main objectives, you have your end goal in mind, your outcomes. What are the things that are going to take that reader on the journey to get to that goal? And then that gets divided up into sections of the book or chapters or whatever. So that's how I approach it, just in a very kind of structured way. It seems to work, and it doesn't stress anybody out when we approach it that way.
And practically, like, how often and in what ways are you communicating with your clients?
So depending on the client, we talk through the length of the book project, which tends to be 6 months or so, 6 to 8 months, depending on what it is. Sometimes 4 months if they really want to get it done fast. We talk once every week or 2 weeks, and I'm sharing material. I'm sharing outline ideas as we go along. We're sharing constantly. So I want to keep them informed as much as they want to be, because some of my clients want to really have their hands in the words. Like, I've got a couple clients right now who they want to shape every sentence and every paragraph in the book with their voice. And I welcome that. I think that's awesome that they're so excited about it. It is more time consuming, but the book ends up really reflecting their voice and their language and the way they communicate. I have other clients who are really hands-off, and they're basically like, hey, here's the idea. The outline looks great. Go to town, send me the book when it's done, kind of a deal. Yeah, I can operate either way. It really depends on what the client's preference is. So I just tell them the main things that I emphasize to my clients are, number one, I'm no drama. Like, you will not get any personal drama from me. I always deliver on time. I'm always reliable. And I forget what the other thing was, but I always tell them, I'm blanking out.
I always tell them this other thing that I always forget.
There was something else. I think it was just those things that I always, I know what it is. It's that my goal for them, my number one goal, is to make writing a book as easy and as fun as possible. Because if you're not having fun, why are we doing this to begin with?
Yeah. What do you feel like is the reason that you are, and this sounds like I'm just trying to puff you up. I'm really not. I'm actually trying to suss out like a practical, like, what is it that you're doing that's causing you to get referrals? Like, if you were to try to critically evaluate the way mm-hmm. that you're handling your clients and the way that you're doing projects, mm-hmm. what do you think are the key reasons that you're getting referrals?
I've put a lot of thought into this because, I mean, to be like totally transparent with you, it is kind of a surprise to me that this is working on some level, because I wasn't sure if it was going to work. I just was kind of like, okay, I've got a couple of book projects. Let's see if we can make this a go. And my wife was on board with it. She was very supportive. Otherwise, I wouldn't have done it. And I really, what I think it comes down to is,
does your wife work with you in any way, or
no, not my business.
Got it.
No, we would drive each other crazy. Actually, I would love to have, because she's amazing, I would love to have her help, and I bounce ideas off her all the time, not client stuff necessarily, but just overall ideas. And she's way smarter than I am and way more creative, so that's good. But I would drive her crazy. She is an interior designer. She's really, really good at what she does. It would drive her crazy to sit in front of a computer and do Zoom calls and podcast stuff and books all day. Like, that would be her nightmare.
It drives me crazy to sit in front of a computer for too long unless I'm doing calls. Like, I feel like I thrive with calls, but I really struggle. This is why there's something else that you said. I'm not letting you answer the question. I'm so sorry.
No, it's all good.
Let me get to this other thing and let me let you answer the question.
So I think that the couple of reasons why it seems to be working is, one is that I'm just really, really easy to work with. So, and I don't know how to say this without sounding negative toward anybody. So I'm going to do my best, but it's going to come out kind of negative. I think the honest to God truth is that there are a lot of writers out there who are just a little bit weird. And I don't know any other way to say that. I mean, writers have a stereotypical, like, quirky, a little bit off sort of a personality. A lot of writers don't have good social skills.
Yeah.
And it's hard for them to really be engaged in conversation. So if you're a writer and you're listening to this, I'm not trying to be offensive. I'm just kind of calling it like I see it.
Yeah.
And I'm a writer, you know, and I realize we all have our quirks and stuff, but I try to just be very chill. I try to be very relational, and I just try to engage with people and be thoughtful. So that's one thing. But also, honestly, I feel like I can trace any good things that have happened in my business the last few years. I feel like I can trace most of that back to my podcast in some way, shape, or form.
Okay.
Meaning, when you have guests on every week, you're building relationships and you're connecting with people. I send a lot of gifts in the mail. Like, just the other day, I sent out copies of Derek Sivers, the guy who founded CD Baby. He has a new book out. I just ordered a few extra copies and I picked a few friends who I thought would love them. I'm just like, hey, I would love for you to have a book, a copy of this great new book. Let me send it to you. So I send them out in the mail. I do stuff like that all the time.
Yeah.
So I think it's all just networking and relationship building. And it's taken a long time to build up, and hopefully I don't do anything to screw it up.
That's my goal. Before we hit record, you were saying that you think that if I wanted to, I could probably build a pretty well-functioning ghostwriting agency, which I'm really curious about, because there's plenty of things about me that make me think that that's not true. So I'm curious what it is that you're seeing and what it is that you're thinking.
What I see in you is somebody who, you're already running an agency. I mean, would you describe your business as an agency?
For sure. 100%.
Okay. Yeah. So I don't see any reason why you couldn't add you know, business books or full length books to that, because the process is not that different.
Yeah. We have a really good head writer. And so the process would just be probably more calls, and I'd have to level up my thinking. I think, or level up is the wrong word. I'd have to grow up my thinking, I think, on, because like, I understand kids. I understand what they love. You know, what the things that I tell my customers are, if you write the book that your customers' kids become addicted to, you're an everyday occurrence in their home. Like your brand is just every day brought up in their home because their kids are addicted to your book. So like I'm very much into what's going to make this book addicting to a kid. This is getting to the things about me that make me wonder if that's true. I do need to think about this though, because it's like, there is a huge difference in what people are willing to pay for a book for adults versus what they're willing to pay for a book for kids.
That's true. That is true.
I'm a writer who doesn't like to read. I don't think that
makes any difference.
You don't think, tell me why.
Well, because people would not be coming to you because you're a reader. They're coming to you because you can give them something they want.
Yeah.
So the way that I look at a book, I can't even speak proper English. The way that I look at a book is that the book is not about the book. The book is really about something else. The book is almost irrelevant in this equation. And I say that, I know that sounds weird, but what I mean is a book is just a vehicle for people to get something else. Mm-hmm. In terms of what I'm providing to them as a ghostwriter, I'm not providing them a Word document that they can turn into a book. They can go on Fiverr and hire somebody that's way cheaper than I am and probably could get it done faster. But what people really want from me or from any ghostwriter is they want somebody who is dependable. They want somebody who's easy to work with. They want somebody who can help them craft a book that gets them some kind of result. Sometimes that's an emotional result. They want to just be a writer, and maybe they don't have aspirations of making the money back from their investment. Other people want to, like, I've got one client right now who very directly, she's mentioned it 5 or 6 times already. And I'm really glad because I know what's important to her. She says, I want to be known as the go-to expert in my industry, in my niche. And it's a very specific kind of an industry. Mm-hmm. And she wants that book to position her as the go-to expert. And I'm like, okay, that's great for me to know because we can direct the book toward that end. So they're not coming to me for the book. They're coming to me for a vehicle that will help them get something that's really, really important to them, which is why they're investing in ghostwriting. So if I can talk to them on that level, like I spend a lot of time talking to them about what is it that you really want from this process? What are your goals for your life or for your business? And how can this book help you achieve those things? Because people, you know, I mean, a book is great, but the things that really drive us are that we want to be thought of, we want to be respected, we want to be valued and admired. We want to be a leader in our industry. We want our peers to respect us. We want to leave a legacy. We want to make money for our family and support our family. So a book can do all those things. So when I talk to people about books, I don't really talk about the book. I talk about those things.
Yeah.
And I talk about them in a way that let's do a really cool book that's going to help you get more of those things that you really want.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Man, I have so many more questions I want to ask you, Kent, but we'll probably have to talk about those off the podcast.
Yeah, it's fine. I can hang around as long as you want.
I started this podcast because I wanted to ask purpose-driven entrepreneurs what it is that they're really living their life for. Hmm. So you've only been ghostwriting professionally and full-time for a relatively short amount of time.
Yeah.
But I am curious how you think about your purpose on this earth.
Boy, that's a good question. I've given a lot of thought to that over the years. And there's a couple of ways of looking at that. One is from, I'm going to say a more generic perspective. One is from like a faith-based perspective. So I used to be a pastor. I taught at a Christian college for a long time. So that faith-based element is really important to me. And I look at my life I try to live my life as an expression of what does God want to do through me?
Yeah.
And not all of your listeners are going to relate to that faith element.
Actually, a lot of them probably will, because most of my listeners are people that have been on the podcast. Okay. And it just so happens that when you're filtering for purpose-driven entrepreneurs, you end up talking to a lot of Christians.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. So yeah. that is part of my journey. But there's also the element where I just want to add value to people.
Yeah.
And the more value I can add to people, the more I can multiply my, I feel like I can justify the time and space that I take up on this earth, you know?
Yeah.
And you can write books. And I'm working on a couple of my own books concurrently. I've written a couple. You know, I do a podcast, which is you're putting out content all the time. But if I can help other people get their books out, then I can multiply my impact and serve them. So I just try to look at it as I try to add value to people with the gifts that I have.
Yeah. When you think about what it is that you're trying to do outside of ghostwriting. So so you've written multiple books and you're working on multiple books. I've only seen one of them, by the way. You wrote the Artist's Suitcase, 26 yes. Essentials for mm-hmm. the Creative Journey. Why did you write that book?
That book was an experiment. I had written a book actually before that, and that book was for a small digital Christian publisher. It's actually out of print now, and they gave me the rights to the book back. That book was on Evernote and how pastors can use the Evernote productivity app. It was like a super, super, very
that's
specific
niche right there.
It is super, was super niche, but I had done a course on that and they gave me
wait, the so that book with that title is about that?
No, not the artist. Okay. No, this was a book that I did before.
Oh,
that.
the first book.
That's why you can't find it anywhere because it's out of print. And I don't have any desire to redo it because Evernote's a mess anyway. So that's a whole other story.
I've also just heard I go all over the place. I've heard that you shouldn't, when you go to write a book, you shouldn't be thinking with the mindset of I'm going to write a handbook. Do you feel that way?
Not necessarily. It depends on what you want out of the process, but I see the logic in that because when you write a handbook for something, you're always going to have to update it and it's going to go out of date, you know, at some point. So, which I think is great. I mean, the college textbook industry has that mastered because they not only will charge you $300 for a textbook, they're going to nowadays bundle it with software and tests and stuff, resources that force you to every year or two buy the next new edition, which has like 0.001% new stuff. As you can tell, I think it's a giant ripoff, the whole textbook industry. That's a whole other ball of wax.
Okay, so when you think about your purpose outside of ghostwriting for other people, but like the books that you are making and what you're trying to build, what is that? What is that purpose? What are you trying to do?
I would say there are two things that really come to mind. One is obviously I want to take care of my family. So I have a 17-year-old son and he's a senior in high school. He's going to be out of the house at some point in the next couple of years, probably.
Yeah.
And so my big purpose is to create a good living environment for my family. That means every day I try to pay attention to spending time with them and being a good provider and not being irritable, you know, being a fun person to live with and contributing to the emotional health of the family and all the things that any parent would do. But I also, a big goal of mine is to get my own books finished, which I'm having a hard time doing right now because I'm writing everybody else's.
Yeah.
But I'm working on a book called The Daily Writer, which is a 365-day journey that writers take. It's like a page a day meditation kind of a deal.
Okay.
I'm partway through that. It's a really, really big project, but it's the book that I wish existed, but it doesn't exist for writers. So I thought, well, why not write the book that I would love to read? So that's important to me as kind of a creative purpose and spending time on that every week.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome, Kent. I have a couple of for fun questions I want to ask you. So one of them is, I'm a kids book author. I believe that part of leaving a legacy is reaching kids. Mm-hmm. What's a topic you would make a kids book about if you could?
That's a good question. I've kicked around some ideas related to helping kids be more creative and helping kids understand they have value to offer to the world, whatever their gifts are. And I think kids need to realize they have a lot of potential. And they can, for the most part, they can do anything they want in life. You can't do everything, but you can do almost anything that you want to if you put your mind to it. And if you work hard enough and have the right connections and
one of the problems that I have is that the pool of what kids think about when they think about the any things they can do is so small. So like, this is something that I find so personally fulfilling about the kinds of books that we're making at Dinosaur House, because they're filling all these niche categories of like different areas of the different industries and places where leadership exists, and getting kids to think about things that they've never even thought about before, because it is true what you just said. They can grow up and do almost anything that they set their mind to. But what happens is they think they're going to be this thing, this thing, this thing, this thing, or this thing. It's very, very small.
Yep. Yeah, that's a big problem, especially because the world is changing so fast. Like my son, a couple of weeks ago, he just got a 3D printer, and it's been a blast seeing him make stuff. So just last night, he made me this. I love comics. So he made me this Batman like logo. Of course, it's
nice.
It's made out of plastic filament.
Yeah.
But, you know, in those kind of fields where it's very technically driven and stuff, I mean, the opportunities that are going to open up in the next 10 years are, you don't even know what they're going to be.
No.
So kids need to, I think as adults, we've got to help kids understand you don't have to pick just one thing. You know, what are the skills that are everlasting and that are always going to be valuable? It's people skills, it's communication, it's empathy, it's learning to work with people who are different than you, and learning to value those differences. It's all those kinds of things. But I feel like so many times in the school system, we're like, we're teaching skills that are really specific skills, but sometimes I feel like we're missing the boat a little bit on those kinds of things that really help people become successful. You know, just being a good writer is not enough. You have to be able to work with people and be able to market and be able to work with people and communicate and those kind of things.
Yeah. It's amazing to me that the skill of being curious about another person is not heavily taught anywhere, when it's probably the single biggest differentiator in my life for success. Like how curious I've been towards other people that I would benefit greatly from being curious about.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. That's good. Kent, my last for fun question for you is, what is something that you currently suck at that a year from now you want to be great at?
Oh gosh, book marketing, no question.
Yeah.
I really stink at book marketing. Like I'm terrible with it.
Yeah, I think that it could become productized in a really awesome way. And it's kind of interesting. I was talking about this with my best friend. It's just interesting to me that as far as I can tell, there's nobody that's done a really good job productizing content marketing of a book where you take, like, it's so funny because it's almost like you're doing the opposite thing, but like they just spent, you know, years and then a concentrated dosage of months building this massive pillar piece of content. Well, nobody's going to consume that unless you present it to the masses in bite-sized, really interesting ways. Mm-hmm. That's how we get into stuff. Like we don't typically get into something by going, yeah, I'll invest 13 hours reading this book. Like you have to be enticed into it by taking small bites of it here and there.
And exactly.
I don't know of any company that's done a great job going, all right, let's turn this book into a billion small awesome pieces of content.
Yeah, it's time consuming, but it can be done. I mean, if you think about a normal, let's say 40,000 word book, that's a shortish kind of a full-length book. My goodness, if you take just one tweet off of each page, which is not hard to do.
Yeah,
I mean, you can have gobs and gobs of social media content and podcast material, and I mean, man, there's just so many opportunities.
Yeah. You just have to marry that with somebody that understands contextually why content works on different platforms.
Yep.
So, you know, what makes, and there's a billion answers to this question, but like what makes tweets engaging, right?
Exactly.
So like somebody who really understands that. Mm-hmm. It takes somebody who really understands that question, scanning the pages for the tweets.
Yep.
That's and then exactly the same thing for LinkedIn and
It is. And it's different for each social media platform. You know, there's nuances of each one. And you have to have somebody who knows how to write for each one and knows what captures attention, how to engage people. Like it's a that is a super valuable skill, and it's not easy to do. Like, you can't just whip off stuff. You have to be really thoughtful with it.
I've thought about selling this. Like, I've thought about trying to, I don't know if it's Dinosaur House and this is just a wing of service, and then some of the people that buy this become customers and make a kids book version of their book.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I've gone viral on LinkedIn, Twitter, TikTok. Well, those are three platforms right there that I've gone viral on, and have figured out just simple things that I can do to consistently get high view counts on posts. So just that skill, scanning through a book, is essentially the service.
Mm-hmm.
My problem is I hate reading books. I hate reading books.
Well, you could have somebody else read the books and pull out. I mean, like if you had a team or something of people who were either writing the books to begin with, or you had somebody who you were taking existing books, they could pull out the stuff, then you could position it or redo it a little bit for social media. So let me ask you this. Do you like doing stuff on social media?
Yeah, the answer to that question is a very tentative yes. There are some things that I really love to do on social media, and there are some things that I either know work or have a really good idea work, but I really lack the discipline to do them.
Okay. But if you were doing it for a client, that's something that you feel like you could do efficiently, you could be really effective at it.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, that's a massively valuable service, I think.
Yeah. 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 Just had this conversation.
As a ghostwriter, I have no interest in doing that service for anybody, because like, by the time I'm done with the book, you're kind of done with it. And I just don't have any desire to take that and slice and dice and make post out of it. And I just really like working with the big book project. That's where I sort of get my thrills. Yeah. But other people don't. So I think that's a great service for authors. Because, and another element to this, and I don't want to like belabor this point, but like the kind of people that I want to work with, and I don't know how to say this without like being crass, like financially, but the kind of people that I really like working with are the ones who, like, was a recent client. And so we got on the phone. This is a person who a friend of mine had referred, and I'm like, hey, let's chat about your book. And she had a clear idea of the book, and, you know, and we talk about pricing, and she's like, okay, let's do it. Let's, you know, send me a contract and let's go. And it was just that easy. So I like to work with people who know the value of what you're doing.
For sure.
And who are like, let's do it. Let's make it happen. So there's a lot of authors out there who love the book stuff, but they're annoyed with the social media stuff. So I think that's a very easy pain point to get across to with authors, you know?
Yep. 100%. Yeah, by the way, those are the same kind of customers that I like to work with. The ones where it's like
they've got the funds, let's roll, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. What have you experienced? I'm trying to wrap up this podcast, but I also want to ask you this question.
I'm good to go.
Have you experienced like somebody that is, they clearly have the money. They clearly see the value, and when they're talking to you, they're like, oh my gosh, yes, done. Yep, send me the invoice, I'm in. And then you send it to them and you're following up on email, but you can't seem to get them to finish. What do you do?
So I have had this exact situation that you're talking about. A few months ago, I talked to, long story short. So at the time I was working on somebody's podcast doing show notes. That's not a service I've done for a long time, but there was one show that I was still doing show notes for because I really, really liked the client and I love their show. So they had a guest on who was talking about their topic, and they were talking about how they were working on a book, but I could tell by the way that they talked about their book that they were struggling with it. So I asked my client, the podcast host, I said, hey, so-and-so was talking about their book. Would you be okay with me reaching out to them? Cause I do ghostwriting too. I think I could really help them with their book.
Yeah.
And so they made a connection. The new prospective client was very excited. We talked a couple of times and I was like, this is a dream client. They're so much fun. I love the topic. And they signed a contract, and then there was nothing for weeks. And you know, their first payment due date went by, and I was like, something is kind of amiss here. And what had happened was, I don't think it was a financial thing. I think it was that felt like they had to get more organized before we really started the project. So they just kind of got cold feet. And we've been in communication the last few months, and I just said, hey, you know, whenever you're ready, let's do it. I was kind of setting aside the fact that they had already signed a contract because, you know, I guess from a legal standpoint, you know, you can kind of push on that a little bit, but I'm like, nobody wants to get into the weeds on that stuff.
No.
And I'm like, hey, if somebody wants out, I mean, it's kind of baked into my contracts that either one of us can kill the project at any time because life happens and stuff comes up, and I want to just acknowledge that.
Yeah.
I'm sure most people do the same kind of a thing. So yeah, it does happen sometimes. And I just work on the principle that if it's not meant to be, it's not meant to be. And sometimes we get into it and it doesn't work out, and that's okay. When I have the right attitude and I'm putting that out into the world, somebody new comes into the mix.
Yeah.
And I just think it's important to hold loosely to all this and just assume God or the universe, whatever view you want to put on that. In my perspective, I just kind of assume God's working on my behalf, and my job is to do my job and bless people and work effectively and with excellence. And that's all I can control. So being upset or mad about something doesn't serve anybody very well. So I just don't worry about it too much.
That's a great spot to end it, Kent. Everybody should listen to your podcast, The Daily Writer. Where are you most active on social that people should connect with you?
I'm most active on Facebook, and I'm just at Kent Sanders, but also Instagram, at Kent Sanders, but also at Daily Writer Life.
And if somebody wanted to reach out to you to have you ghostwrite for them, what should they do?
They can just shoot me a message on Facebook or Instagram, or probably the best way, honestly, is just to send an email to me. It's kent@kentsanders.net.
Awesome. Kent, I've loved talking to you literally every time.
It's been an honor.
Picking your brain. You have a very, the way your mind works. I'm just, I get a lot out of these conversations.
Cool. Me too. Yep. Me too. It's always
great talking to you. Thanks for being on.
My pleasure.